So I have the great privilege and joy to be able to bring the word to you tonight. We're finishing with the one-on-one sort of messages about the devil and his lies. Next week there'll be a panel and we'll be shaking things up, and I'm really excited about that. But I get to be the one to tie some loops together, I suppose, about what we've been talking about. And I've been so personally blessed by what's been said in this series, and I hope that you have been too. But if you haven't seen any of it, that's okay. This will still hopefully get right to where it needs to go tonight, and I say that in Jesus' name and in his power. Because he's the one that empowers us to do anything. We can't do anything on our own. So, first of all, I just want to kind of do a little tiny recap and just share some of the things that I got out of the other messages. They're just little parts. But Sandy kicked things off with a really amazing message. And if you didn't see it and you want to see it, go online to dooroftheofhope.org, or you can go to YouTube to Door of Hope Christian Church, and they're in the live streaming section. You'll be able to find them all, and it's well worth looking at. I didn't greet people online. Hello, if you're listening online. It's really wonderful to have you, and you are so important to us. So I want to make sure that you know that we see you figuratively. So Sandy kicked things off with talking about this idea of a picture of a chair and a real chair. And she talked about reality. And the picture of the chair has some parts of it that are chair-like, but it will not hold you if you try and sit on it. It is an illusion compared to the real chair that will hold your weight. So we can know that reality is Jesus's truth. The world has a reality that we can access and know through Jesus. And we hear all of these messages about the truth that it's hard to find, that everyone's is different, or that maybe there isn't one. But we know through Jesus, we know that there is a truth that we can hold on. He says, I am the truth. And in Corinthians, it's just, this has been speaking to me so much. I hardly noticed these words, but it says that Jesus is the one who holds everything together. And it just keeps coming back at the moment. And it's, the more I think about it, Jesus is the one who holds everything together. It's profound. So since the truth is the reality of Christ, how do we define lies? So we've been going with this definition from John Mark Comer in Live No Lies. It's a brilliant book, but he talks about lies being the deceptive ideas from the devil that play to disordered desires, the flesh, that are normalized in a sinful society. That's the world. And so the origins of lies, we can have a bit of a shortcut in our minds to think it's the devil, the flesh, and the world. Those are all places where we can be deceived. So Winnie talked about the reality in our real world of demons and the devil. It was a bit of a card trick on the devil's part to convince us that he's not there, because he doesn't need us to believe in him to make mischief in our lives. But it's also important that we don't interact with them more than we need to. Jesus did as little talking to the devil and demons as possible. He sent them out and they had to go, but he didn't spend time chit-chatting to them and asking them about their opinions on things and the weather. He just said that they should go and they had to go. Winnie also talked about the fact that we might need to persevere with that, that Jesus always won when he was sending them off, but sometimes we need to take some time and pray and keep seeking that deliverance, because it will come in Jesus. Winnie also invited anyone who feels that they had dabbled in things that weren't wholesome, that were things like maybe like tarot cards and astrology and other things. Sorry, I'm getting confused. Finding my spot. Here we are. Winnie also told us about some of the ways that when we don't know about the enemy's tactics, we can dabble in things like tarot cards and astrology and other non-wholesome things, which can open up us up to the interference of the enemy. And it can have a negative impact on how we feel about God and how we can relate to him. So she actually invited anyone who felt that had been an issue for them to not feel condemned, but to say sorry to Jesus, to ask for forgiveness, and be set free from those things, the negative consequences that those things have. So again, I just want to invite you not to feel condemned, but we do need to seek God's things and not the enemy's things. And when we mess around with the things in the enemy's camp, we're going to get burned. And it can be a little uncomfortable, but God can set us free from all of those things. So last week, Ben spoke about this idea of the good life. This is the life. And that is the life that God intended for us, the good life that we can enjoy with him, like going for a beautiful walk, you know, really just being in God and enjoying things the way that they were meant to be. And then there's the enemy who wants us to have things stolen from us and essentially to die. He doesn't want good things for us. And the Bible says that God set before us two choices, life and death. And he didn't mince words. He said, choose life. And so that's where we've been. And now it's my turn. So I'm going to be talking to you today about how we can oppose lies in our life in Jesus' power and live more fully in the freedom of truth. You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. That God intends for us and that Jesus actually bought for us already. We just need to pop the tags on it. It's available. But lies can stop us from accessing it fully. And who have we learned is the liar and the father of lies? The devil. So in the book Live No Lies by John Mark Comer, he talks about how on earth at the moment there is a war going on. And it's not a war like we picture it in, say, a movie that I really love, like Kingdom of Heaven. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but it's a goodie. But you can see the baddies and the goodies, or at least the thems and the usses, and there are lines drawn out and they're fighting with one another. It's not like that. John Mark Comer puts it really in a really interesting way. He says that it's like a war of information. It's like a propaganda war. So it's not an open battle on a field with both sides in plain sight. It's about what's true and what's not, and where are we getting our information? How do we find out what we need to know to be in touch with the truth? And as Sandy puts it, with reality. So I watched a war movie with my in-laws. They always choose movies that I probably wouldn't watch if I was by myself. we go through Netflix and like change the channels and sort of look through all the different movies. And every time I see one that I go like, ugh, my mother-in-law says, ooh, what's that? So we were watching one that I actually really liked in the end. I haven't been able to stop thinking about it anyway, but no, it's not quite the same thing. But it was really stressful and really good, and it was called The Forgotten Battle. Yeah. And basically, it's like this war of information. What's happened is that there's people in Holland waiting for the Allied forces. The forces of Canada are coming through to help break them out of the hold of the Nazis, who were still in charge of a lot of their towns. The war is technically won, but the previous power of the Nazis is still there. They've still got all of those holds over all of the important places. And so for the people living in some of those places, it was like the war was still very much going on. It was for them. And they just had to wait until people could come through to them. Now, it becomes imperative for them that maps and aerials and photographs are sent through to the Canadians who are trying to break them free so that they can effectively set them free. And so they have to actually get that information through across enemy lines and with great risk to their lives. And they do take these huge risks, and some of them die to get the information out there. And they're ordinary people. In the story, there's a doctor and his daughter and her brother and her friend. And they're just regular people that are getting that information through so that the truth can help to set them free. So that's the kind of situation I feel like speaks to our life on earth maybe a little bit better a lot of the time, because we're not facing an enemy who is out there in plain sight, but one who has taken charge of the sources of information. And if we believe the news reports, we're going to have a rational desire to respond in a particular way that makes a whole lot of sense if those news reports are true. But if they're not true, that's not going to be the correct way to be, the correct thing to do. And that is a dilemma, because how do we know if a report is true or not? How should we act? I have a necklace that's very special to me. It's white gold chain with little diamonds and a big smoky blue topaz, and I love it because it's the colour of my children's eyes. It needed a white gold chain to go with it, and it only came with a little fakey silver one, which was nice to look at, but it wasn't going to last long. And we were told that it really did need to be replaced with the real deal because the fake chain was going to ruin the actual nice pendant if I wore that all the time. So it was a big deal because we're not rich people. I'm not boasting about what we have. And if I lost that chain, we were not getting another chain. That was it. And one day, about a month ago, it might have even been less time, I noticed something about the chain that my pendant was on. I noticed that the little clippy didn't look quite right. It looked cheap. And I went, oh. And so I started sorting around to try and find the maker's mark that's on proper gold, and I couldn't find one. And I thought, well, that's not a good sign. And so then I took it off the chain and I started holding it to figure out how much it weighed. And then I was like, well, it's very light, but it's also very small, and I'm not comparing it to anything. So I went and rifled around in my jewelry to find another chain that I knew was fake. And so then I'm trying to sort of weigh them against one another, and my chain felt a bit heavier than the one that I knew was fake. So I was thinking, it feels more real than this one. So maybe it's real and maybe it's fine and it just didn't have a maker's mark. And it seemed like it was a better option than this one here, and so maybe it was real. But I put it on, and in the back of my head, I'm thinking, this isn't good. I think that maybe I've lost the good chain, and I can't quite tell if I have or not. And so a couple of days later, I had prayed, Lord, please help me to find the original chain. If this isn't the right chain, please help me to find the real gold chain, because I have no idea where it is. And so I don't even know where to look. And I wasn't holding out an awful lot of hope, but I sort of forgot about it. And anyway, my baby at the moment is into sorting through all of my stuff and putting my undies on her head. That's her favourite thing. And so she was going through my stuff like a whirlwind, and she found a purse that I don't really use anymore. And she'd been rifling through all my cards and had gone through it like a tornado, and the zip had unzipped and the chain had sort of spat out of it, and that was the real chain. And I suddenly remembered. I remember that I had it, and I thought, where can I put it? And I need to put it somewhere. So I zipped it in my wallet and was like, oh, I'm going to keep it safe. But the thing is, the moment I saw the real chain, the two fake chains didn't feel real at all. A minute ago, I'd been wondering whether, is this it, or this is not it, so maybe this is it. But it was neither of them. The real one, the moment I saw it, I saw the maker's mark. I saw that it was made more beautifully. It was just the real deal. So, the diagram that Sandy shared in the first message showed us a diagram where lies come from. So there's the world, this earth, and the cultures and communities it builds can be sources of lies, things that aren't Jesus, not reality, not based on truth. And then there's the flesh, and that's the part of ourself that has appetites that need filling and want filling now. It's not submitted to Jesus, and the flesh is the part of us that says, I want it, and so I will get it, and I won't worry about how I get it. And then there's the devil, who we've been talking about, the father of lies. Now, we often search truth against other things. We think, what about this? Is that a better idea than that? But we can't find the truth this way. We can't compare the lies that our flesh tells us with other things in the world and figure out which one feels more true, because they can both be bad ideas. One idea might feel better than another idea. One suggestion might seem like truth against another worse suggestion. But what we need to do is know that there is only one source, and it's not coming from all of those places. And so if we know that it's coming out of our desires, our heart, we know that that can be a confusing place. And so that's not a good thing to compare out there with. And out there is nuts, you know. Out there is out of control, and some of the things that people are saying seem good to them, seem like good ideas, but that's not where the truth is. And the enemy, he wants us to die, and so he's going to tell anything that will send us into the meat grinder. And so we can't combine any of those things to find the truth. What we need is the truth that we find in Jesus. And when we see the truth of Jesus compared to the world, it's like seeing the gold against the fake. We see the stamp of reality on it. And sometimes we try not to look at it, but I believe that when people hear the words of Jesus, they are convicted with that stamp. They see it. And sometimes they might want to look away, but it's there. So, the Bible is our source of much truth from Jesus. How can we get in touch with reality? How can we allow the truth to get through to us? Well, what did Jesus do to the devil and his lies? As Winnie said a few weeks ago, we shouldn't ignore lies which are bothering us. We should resist them. So how do we do that? By replacing the lies with the truth. Respond to the lies with the Bible, which has truth enough to obliterate any lie. So I'm going to read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him out to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. They will lift you up in their hands so that they will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. When we're met with a lie, we can believe it and we can take it on board, or we can see it as a lie but still act like we believe it. A lot of us are living that way. I know it's true that I'm valuable to God, for example, and that he sees loveliness in me, but the world doesn't. We know the world's rules on value and it's very harsh. And so we can either live like one who is not valuable, or we can believe the truth. Are you believing the lie about that or the truth? If you really believe that you are valuable and wonderful and lovely to God, that means that you are valuable and lovely and wonderful. I know that sounds like I've just said something superfluous, but think about it. Have you ever had it where a parent has told you you're very special and you go, yeah, I know. But also I feel like garbage, and that is also true, and maybe a little bit more true. Because in your mind, you're thinking, I'm special to you. You think I'm special, which is your inner world, and that's you. But out here, it's different for me. And we do that to God, where he will tell us something true, and we say, yeah. It's true for you. But out here, it doesn't matter. Now, that kind of truth can't really do anything for us. Because even though we are saying, yes, I know it's true, you have to live it for it to be true. It's like the bit in Indiana Jones. I don't know if you've seen it. It's an old movie now, and it was an old movie when I was a kid. But stepping out into the chasm, you could only really take that step if you knew that you were going to be okay. Because you have to let go. You have to actually allow yourself to leave the other side. And I feel like with God's truth, we're often doing this thing where we're both trying to step out and not step out at the same time. And that doesn't work. In fact, that's the worst place to be. And in fact, I actually think it's worse than being lost in some ways, because you're stuck. And I think a lot of Christians are stuck because we can't do this, because it requires us to really take in that truth and live by it. But we can't do that because we know it's not true. And so we get stuck in a glitch and we're stuck on the edge, stepping out, but never actually being able to step out. Are you believing the lie or the truth? Are you living and walking in what God has told you without hedging your bets anymore and without keeping one foot in the spot that you were, just in case the worldly wisdom and the worldly truth and the devil's truth might be true. We need to stop hedging our bets. Because God doesn't want us to stop until we really, 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 really believe it. So when you are faced with something that you believe might be one of those deceptive ideas, what do we do with it? I want you to find a Bible verse that refutes it. And you will. If it's something that feels icky and feels wrong, and we go to the Bible, it will easily show us. If we go to, especially the Gospels are a great space, go to the letters, go to anywhere where God is talking about his relationship or his feelings for us, and we will find truth. I mean, the Bible is truth all over. But if you are just learning to read the Bible, I mean, look in the Gospel of John. Just look at what Jesus is saying to his people, and we will find more truth than we would be able to use in a lifetime. Find a truth. And use that truth, not just to say, yeah, but to actually use it as a weapon against the lie and say, I am going to actually throw this at you until you dissolve, until you are gone and until you leave me. Because Jesus didn't just have the devil walking around with him saying stuff at him for the rest of his existence. After he kept responding with the gospel, the enemy went away. And that's what we need to do. We are not designed to be tormented by the enemy at all times because Jesus is meant to deliver us. And we need to keep going at that until we believe the truth and until the enemy has left us alone. So the truth needs to go deeper and deeper and deeper into us. Now, I mentioned this idea about loveliness because I had to do this. And I'm not doing this to be boastful. I'm just a normal person. I'm not up here because I'm just someone. I'm just trying to be obedient. But I tell you this because I want to show you something. I was concerned a while ago that I was losing my hair. And nobody likes losing their hair. But for a youngish woman, it's confronting because I didn't expect it. And so when it started happening, and I think it was because of stress, but I didn't know at the time, I was freaking out. Because there were some lies that I'd taken into my life that I'd never really needed to grapple with. Because for a while, I was young, I was pretty fit, I felt nice, I was pretty happy with what I had. And so this idea that you're only valuable if you are pretty, I felt okay, you know? And then suddenly I'm losing my hair and I'm like, oh, I'm melting. And as much as I'm telling other people, you know, you're beautiful, it's fine, God loves you, he looks at you and he thinks you're great. And it is true and I believed it. When it was challenged in me, I didn't know what to fight it with. You know, I didn't have anything because I believed sort of deep down that it did matter. And that I wasn't worthy if I was a bald lady. And so I remember thinking, I can either be a miserable person for the rest of my days because I don't face up to this, or I can try and finally do my homework here and let God convince me that what I've always said is true is true. And that felt so different than telling somebody that God doesn't mind if they're chubby, like, which he doesn't. But it was really saying, okay, how do I actually let go of this lie? Because in some ways, the lie was actually making me feel better on a bad day. You know, you kind of get something. And I think that's kind of how it works, where the lies that really get to us are the ones that give us a little breadcrumb to feel nice every now and then. And so we have to get weaned off the little nice feeling that the lie gives us and get used to enjoying the vegetables, which we can. And the truth is beautiful and the truth is good, but it doesn't taste the same as the enemy's little breadcrumbs. And so I had to learn to, I guess, experience the flavor of God's truth and learn to be nourished by it. And it happened, but it didn't happen all at once. it meant that I had to sit with some very uncomfortable feelings. I had to let go of some things that I realized were not serving God, and they weren't helping me, and that was going to be a stumbling block. And so it took a lot longer than I expected to feel okay with maybe being a bald lady. But I tell you now that if I do have trouble with that again, I have learnt to maybe be a bald lady, and I will feel okay. Now, that's about me. That's a very me story. I felt sad, then I felt better because God's truth really sank in. I learnt that I was fearfully and wonderfully made. But the thing is that my mother has got cancer, and I believe she's going to be okay. And even if she didn't, even if she's on a trip to heaven, and I don't think she is, God's got her, and I trust him. So don't carry my sad story. It's not a sad story. We deal with what's going on today, and what's going on today is that God is good, and he's dealing with the situation in the best way possible. But my mum had to shave off her hair the other day. And there's this part in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis, where Aslan, who's the God character, this beautiful lion, getting his hair shaved. And it's being watched by the two girls who love him. And it says, once the initial shock wore off, Aslan looked more courageous and more beautiful and more patient than ever. Sorry. And I saw her, and I saw the struggle, because I've been through that struggle at least a little bit. And I was able to tell her that I thought that she was beautiful. And I meant it. When we are freed from lies, we are not holding others in bondage to those lies. When we are in bondage to those lies, we are encouraging other people to be in bondage as well. So we can't be talking about becoming free from the enemy and his lies or holding others in bondage. To be set free ourselves is to also let others be free. In Jesus' truth. So this isn't just about you. And sometimes little lies, when they're serving you and they're making you feel good on a difficult day, might be the suffering and struggle of somebody else that you can't help them with because you're not free. So I haven't told you the name of this sermon yet, but I've called it, what's the time? How much time have I got left? I'm running out of time. That's okay. I've called this, don't buy counterfeits and don't sell them. With the tongue, it says in James chapter 3, verse 9 to 12, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praises and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. I have a picture for you, chili. I really love chili, and the more you eat, the more you can eat. It's wonderful. But your mouth becomes less sensitive to it. So when you're cooking other people a meal, they might say, oh, this is too spicy, I can't eat it. And you're going, I can't even taste anything. I don't even remember what I put in. And there's nothing wrong with having a high tolerance for chilies, but there is something wrong with having a high tolerance for lies. Yeah. Lies from the devil and not God's desire from us. And to be really free from lies, we need to step away from all the things that the enemy is like. The Bible verse talking about salt water and fresh water coming out of the same spring, well, what's the problem? Well, fresh water and salt water mixed together is salt water. Yeah. Freedom plus bondage mixed together is just bondage. You can't keep the salt out of one part and then keep the other part fresh. And if we're always engaging in deceptive practices and deceptive ideas, then it's a bit like always having that numbness, so that when we need to find the truth, we're not very sensitive to it, So if we want to know what's true, if we want to feel clear, if we want to not be confused, and if we want to be feeling really confident in God's truth, we need to stop dulling our sensitivity with our own deceptive behaviors. And I know this is a tough sell because we all lie, whether it's a white lie where we say, "I'm sorry, I'm busy tonight, I can't hang out," when really we could probably say, "Look, thanks for inviting me, but I'm tired and I want to stay home." You know, it feels like it's not a big deal. It doesn't really impact anything, but it's just a little bit of chili, a little bit of spice that shouldn't be there. Or maybe the other deceptive practices that we might do are just things like clocking in a little bit of extra time at work, or I'm just trying to think of what else. Not paying for parking even, you know, just things that are just deceptive. You know, we're saying we're living one way and we're actually not. It can seem like it's just not a problem because it's not really impacting anyone, but more than anything, it's impacting us and ourselves in the way that we relate to the world. It's impacting our ability to know what's true. Now, I want to tackle just... this is a tricky one. But there are some things that are in our lives where we think, I could never tell the truth about that because it's just too much of a problem that would cause too much chaos. And so I actually have to be deceptive because the truth would be too disastrous. Now that is a big, big lie from the enemy, because he doesn't want us to access freedom. And I've noticed, this is just anecdotal, but I've noticed that when it's coming to making a big decision or something that we have to do or decide, I feel like often the enemy, the mark of the enemy's ideas in that space is hurry, 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 you've got no time, do it now, do it now. Whereas God seems to often say, wait, take your time, think it through, don't snatch. Whereas when it comes to telling the truth, the enemy says, take your time, think about it, think about all the things that could go wrong, maybe tomorrow. Whereas God tends to say, do it now. How about now? What about now? Have you thought about doing it? I don't know. Now? There's no truth that God can't work with, because that is what he is. So when we throw out a truth and say, God, help me, he will. When we try and help ourselves by throwing out something that is nearly true or makes enough sense or is a good way out, it is just going to lead you into more tangles. So we need to get used to the idea that when we are trying to get through or out of or even into situations, we need to throw that truth out there like it is us leaping into the chasm and allowing God to figure out how this is all going to work. And he will. You only have to do it once to never be able to unfeel the sensation of leaping out, stepping out in the truth and going, this feels like it could go very wrong, and then watching God catch you. And he may not catch you the moment you leap, and it is very uncomfortable, but that discomfort of leaping is far preferable to the discomfort of living in a lie. So what I want to do now is first of all read Romans 8, 1 to 4, because this we need to keep coming back to and back to and back to and back to. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That is available to each one of you. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then ask one of us how you do that, and we will pray it with you, because that is available to you. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, by our sinful desires, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. What I want you to hear is you are not in trouble. You are not in trouble. Other people might say, oh, I just can't abide a liar. I can put up with anything, but oh, don't lie to me, or I'll never speak to you again. That's garbage, and it's not important. Let them not speak to you again. Be a truth teller. Because the funniest thing you can ever say is, hey, I'm a liar, I tell lies. Because you're not anymore. So take that. Do with that as you wish. So what I want us to do is I want us to pray. I want you to consider the things that you might have in your life that you think God can't really do anything with that. That truth is too tricky. If you don't have one of those things, then that's fantastic. But I want you to think about the little things that you say every day, little bits and pieces all over the place. If you were to be really, really, really brutally honest, how many of those things aren't actually true? Because as we live according to the Spirit, but not according to the flesh, we're not meant to tell lies at all. And if we do, we're meant to do something about it to fix them. No matter how far you walk away from something that's not true, if someone's still believing it and you said it, then we need to do something about it. And I'm not saying there's not forgiveness. Of course there's forgiveness. But you can't be free and trapped at the same time. And this is the way that I want you to get unlocked tonight, that God wants you to get unlocked tonight, is to think about, do I just need to actually start questioning and thinking before I speak? Do I need to tell someone that I said things were a certain way and actually they're a different way and ask for their forgiveness? Because even if they are cross with you, God will love that. God will love that and they'll trust you more. There's always a way through with God. There's always a way through and it brings life. So I want you to pray with me. Is it going to be up? I think I've given some words to go up there. If not, there we go. So I'd like you, if you moved and if God is stirring your heart, I would like you to pray this with me. It can be out loud or it can be in your heart. Dear Jesus, thank you that you are the way and the truth and the life. Help me to tell the truth. Please help me to trust you enough to work things out your way without me trying to fix or hide things. Please give me wisdom and heal my words from lies. Help me to step into the freedom that your reality brings. Freedom from all lies, even the ones that I have told. I'm sorry for trying to do things my way. And I recommit my words to you, Lord. I'd also like you to consider what your next thing is to do. We always like to give people, you know, a take home. What do I do with this now? And this is a pretty broad take home. But for all of you, your next thing will be different. But I want you to ask God, what do I do with this? What is my next thing? And I believe that he'll give you a task that will help you to step further into truth. Because the most amazing thing is that God, as truth, is something that we will continue to become acquainted with deeper and deeper every day of our lives. And to lean into the truth means that we are going to get more and more knowledge of the truth, and we will never be done. So even if you're the most honest person in the room, and that's wonderful, then ask God, what do I do to lean into your truth? Give me something to do. And you might want to tell the person next to you what that is. And that might actually help you do it if you're feeling scared. Now, while the worship team maybe just play quietly for a couple of minutes, I would like you to pray. I'd like you to pray for somebody near you if you have the courage to, out loud. And if you don't, I'd like you to choose somebody near you to pray for without telling them. And I'd like you to pray that God would help them to be set free from the devil and his lies in any part of their life that they need freedom from. So we'll just do that for a couple of minutes. I'll give you the word when it's time to get going. And I just want to thank you, Jesus, for your words of life. Life and not death. Life in abundance. In Jesus' name.